Nothing good to say about this team right now, dude. Nothing good to say.
Welcome in New York to episode 119. We got two games to talk about. We've got Charlotte loss, St. Louis loss. Vibes are not where they should be heading into a home opener. We've been to every single one, and it always feels like you are getting that new season feel. Unfortunately, all of us are going to be attending the game with an old season feel. It already is starting to feel like two games in that things are not changed from last year.
Yeah, and we're going into a home opener that, to be honest, I don't even know how excited I really am for it.
There's going to be Cushing out chance in first home game of the season.
I cannot blame them.
It's hard not to.
Can't blame them. For me, going into this season, we did a guest appearance on another show. We were asked, what's the big question going into next season? And it was, does Nick Cushing have the ability to coach a winning MLS football team? It doesn't seem like he does.
And these, out of the, let's call it the first 10 games that we want to give him, were some of the easiest of the bunch, considering other opponents that we have coming up. We have Portland at home, kind of like a, maybe we get that 2021 MLS Cup energy facing them. Then we're just fed into a buzzsaw of Miami, Cincinnati, Atlanta.
And we're going into a home opener that, to be honest, I don't even know how excited I really am for it.
There's going to be Cushing out chance in first home game of the season.
And I cannot blame them. I can't blame them. Look, because Cushing came in and had a team literally handed to him that was good and developed and had camaraderie and all that stuff. Obviously, he made it, the team made it to an Eastern Conference final. But since then, even leading up to that, there was no signs that Nick Cushing was going to be able to bring that team to that point. There's no sign that he's going to be able to bring that team back to that point since then.
And I didn't expect it to be such a Cushing-heavy episode either. I think we both, that's just what the mind ran to as NYCFC supporters. We have the two games to talk about, the Charlotte and St. Louis, but that really is what is top of mind right now. People are putting polls, do we think Santi or Cushing is going to leave NYCFC first?
Well, yeah, after him, he had no right. Santi had no right being that angry coming off. I do like the energy of that. You should be angry to be coming off, but let's be realistic. You haven't shown anything either in both games, so we're going to have to maybe bring that down a little bit. But if you look at anybody on our roster who has shown anything, Alenic has shown that he's a wild card, like just a complete wild card. He looks out of position all of the time. He always looks like he's in the wrong place. And then even when he gets into good positions, he stops running and doesn't do anything.
I was going to say,
no sense.
Alenic has shown that I want Tavon Gray to be starting.
Yeah.
That's
honestly,
that's the extent of what Alenic has shown me on the field. But there are just a lot of players that are not playing up to their names or their potential, we should say.
Yeah, and just potential, because really there are no names anymore.
Like, potential
outside
is
of Keaton,
the buzzword for us.
There's no established players. Mm-hmm. Maybe Thiago, but even he's been sporadic. And it's just, I think what, here's the problem, is every single time I feel like Nick has more and more heat on him, lost Sands down 2-0, this and that, he somewhat always has these built-in bailouts. And realistically, that only goes as far as we continue to give them to him.
And you have to agree at a point that a part of being a winning coach and a winning club is being able to overcome adversity.
Right.
And like, if you can't do that,
that's sports.
And
like,
yeah,
that's literally sports.
It's life, literally. And he's had all the adversity needed to be like, oh my God, this guy is ridiculous that he's overcome this much adversity.
Right.
But it seems like every time the adversity is the one getting the W. So
adversity is up huge with this man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Running up the score. So you're right. It sucks to have those built-in excuses too. And we definitely leaned on them a lot last season, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, it does get to a, I don't even know what you call it, a terminal velocity.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the right word. But it gets to a point where
right.
you would think you'd overcome at least one of them or
right.
two of them. And it's not happening.
I hate that my brain tends to be balanced. Cause I wish I could just go like full Nick out or full Nick in. Mm-hmm. But I'm too rational. And so there is realistic things like, you know, he cannot control Santi Sky in the ball. He cannot control O'Toole not hitting it first time at the top of the box. Like, if he was in control of that, I'm sure he would make different decisions than what actually happened on the field. And so for that, I do feel bad for him. Like, that's, I would be so pissed off if I was him and being like, look, we've trained so hard. I've instilled these ideas, whether you believe in them or not. And clearly there's something going wrong to where those are not being reflected on the field. What's causing that? I don't know.
And we see it in these new guys too. They haven't necessarily shown up and shown anything. A few of them have been promised to be these young talents that need to have their skills honed and be molded into these new young faces of the MLS. And it's only been two games, but in terms of optimism, I think we came in with a lot of optimism that we have all these new young kids that can become those players. And we just haven't seen anything from any of them, whether it's Mijatovic or, I mean, Ojeda just got his debut. I think he's played a grand total of like 20 minutes for us.
Even Julian.
But yeah, and anybody that has come in, and that's what's scary too, because in the past our issues have been no type of depth to close out games or to chase games when you need it. And now it feels like, hey, we have that. We have Mija, Ojeda, and Julian. You could change the whole front three, and they're going to run like animals, and they're also not contributing anything at the moment.
I feel like that's giving crack to a fiend. Like, giving options to Nick Cushing is like, bro, you could just change this every week, and it'll never be the same.
Yeah.
You're just like, get that itch. Well,
I
lineup.
I feel like we, oh my God, I feel like every single thing that we talked about on our over-unders episode, like, it just has to be unders. Like, every part of it.
We haven't scored a goal yet.
Not one.
Like, they said we're no goals, no clean sheets. Talas has not started a game.
Yeah.
Like, I literally sat here and looked straight in the camera and I was like, well, obviously he's going to start games like 1 through 5 or 7. Hasn't started at all.
And it's part injury. But I don't know that him being on the field would have saved these games.
I think game one, had he been on sooner, would have maybe been a little different. Because he provides something. And I think Malachi Jones could have done something in these games.
And he hasn't seen minutes yet. And he was Cushing's pick for player I'm most excited about, I guess you could say, from Cushing's perspective. Or maybe the biggest wild card coming out of the preseason, where you had no clue that this thing was going to happen, and then Malachi shows up and it's like, oh, he's fighting for a spot.
Right.
And we don't see a spot come for him. So it sucks that the home opener feels this way.
Right.
Because I do think for the fans, it's obviously a notable event just to get back together with everybody, get to the stadium and kind of see the team for the first time in person, and people are not going to be happy.
No, I know. I just hope that that's the real start of our season. We just chalk the two games up, take the L on them, and move forward with a vision and a pace that we have not seen this season, that just has not existed.
Well, the truth is, so next two home games, we've got Portland and then we've got Toronto. Both winnable games, although difficult opponents, they have to be wins. I don't know if that's too crazy to say, but
Portland is beatable.
Portland's beatable. There's something about us and being at home where we have that history of performing well. And if we've even lost that touch, which last year it felt like we were kind of going down that path, then there's bags that have to be packed at a certain point.
You know, you just see other teams like Minnesota poaching from Manchester United and big clubs. Like, I think there are guys out there that are unknown to us because we're just normal humans. Mm-hmm. We're not that, we're very tapped in, but we're not that tapped in, like, that level.
Know that a Man U head of scouting is available as a manager candidate, yeah.
That you can even approach somebody like that. Right. So that was really eye-opening to me in terms of, okay, yeah, there may not be a huge name out there, but there's somebody who could probably come in and get results. And I think I'd also be very interested in the real version of Nick's side, because, like, I feel like we get a lot of coach talk, a lot of manager speak.
It's all we get.
I would love to just have, like... Bro, if Nick Cushing could go on Club Shay Shay and just really spill what he feels, I feel like we might all respect him a little bit more.
Through frustration, we start to get there with Nick. That corporate sheen starts to fade a little bit when Nick is frustrated with the results. I think last season, a few times when he's upset, it feels like Nick starts to come out and see as CFG kind of fades further from him. Even in this latest press conference, he's just saying, you know, it is what it is. I think he's just waiting for something to give, because he may be... Not to give him too many olive branches, but like he is most likely as confused as us is. I've brought in all these talented kids, and we have kids or people here that have proven in the past that they've been able to do something, whether that's Santi, Tiago, Tavon 2021, we can call that. Julian last season was somewhat of a threat enough that we were all calling for him to be probably the most exciting player this year, maybe the leading goal scorer on the team. And he must also feel like, when is something going to give? Like, I can't imagine he's not doing to the best of his ability what he can as a manager. He obviously is. And you have to wonder what then leads to it not working out.
Right.
And I don't know, talking about the body language of the team, I think that's been the most surprising thing for me these two games. Yeah. We look
pure frustration.
Unmotivated. We look
tired.
Frustrated. We look tired. It's game one, like 10 minutes into game one, and we look like we've played like we're in a 30-game season.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes from. And then again, you have Santi arguing. You have Sans kicking out, which is not in Sans' game. I don't think we've seen him angry before. We obviously had the incident with him and the fans.
He tends to stew.
Right.
More than anything.
And to have, you know, sort of like an outburst like that, I don't know. And you're right, it is these players that they're probably is frustration boiling over with themselves too. Because Sans is at a point too where he most likely should not be starting unless you're properly fitting him in a back three.
Yeah.
And I'm prepared to say that because I think we said that during Blue Christmas. So calling back to that, one of the fan questions, I believe it was, from the crowd was start two, sit one, Keaton, Perea, and Sans.
Yeah. Keaton Perea all day.
Yeah.
With Sans as a defender.
I believe we both went up and said that. Unfortunately, Sans, who has been a warrior for us prior to his Scottish days, not even remotely after his Scottish days, he just doesn't seem like he's in the place right now where he can fit in the team, unless it's in a center back role.
Yeah.
But I don't know how much fitting in three center back fixes us anyways, because we were blabbering on all these podcasts that our defense are the ones that it doesn't look great back there.
Yeah.
But they're going to figure it out. It doesn't look great, but
I don't know that there's figuring it out. I think, though, I do think that a five-back would greatly help this team. Because if you can get...
If you can take some responsibility...
If you can get O'Toole overlapping, you get Olenich overlapping, you get Perea and Keaton in the middle, maybe we get Maxi back, get him in their midfield somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Cushing showed... It was one of the things I was going to ask in the middle of game one was, is Nick going to ever put out two strikers? And he did that.
Yeah.
And so you can work that with a five in the back and create some chances for two strikers. Like, there's ways around this. I hope he explores a little bit more, because at this point, what is there to lose?
And it frees up responsibility on O'Toole and Olenich. And O'Toole, maybe we forgot because St. Louis sucked, but Charlotte was probably the biggest low light that O'Toole has had for us.
He was getting burned.
I mean, he was literally spinning around at times. Lost. It was a bad look.
Defensively.
And
offensively, he looked decent.
Unfortunately, I think the confidence diminished his ability to perform offensively. We saw him take, like you called out earlier, the shot at the top of the box late in the game. Like, you have to first time that.
Yeah.
Every time, you know, I don't care that you're O'Toole and you're a left back.
Yeah.
But he was not of a mindset to think that he had that in his game. And it's just, that's not a position you want to be in when the next person on the roster is McFarlane, who's 15, 16, and then
16.
The next person on the roster, there isn't one.
16, 17, whatever. Yeah.
There isn't one.
Right.
And again,
I mean,
the window's still open also.
Burke, I think, technically can play left back, they're saying.
Wish. If it comes to
he
that.
He just has a left foot, I think.
If it comes to that, I think we're wooden spoon guys. But you do still see some teams making moves. Yedlin just moved from Miami to Cincinnati. I didn't know that he was available.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was
available. But you would have to assume the inner circles of the MLS, including RFO, would know something like that.
Right.
And as far as I see it, that is a position of need for us.
Correct.
I know he plays right back, but if
any wing.
Tavon is injured and Olenich is playing like Olenich, you got to be making a call at the bare minimum. You have to. So I don't know if we address something further. Wing back is obviously where everybody is pointing at there being issues of depth. So
I guess I just had a question in terms of, so I remember you said that Nick Cushing, something's got to break. I brought these guys in, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that those choices were actually his, or do you think that those were CFG youngster moves for this system?
That's
or
what we get into
actually
a lot.
His desired picks, the people that he wanted to play with.
I feel like it's a mix based on what we've heard from him. For Hanez, is his.
To me, Giannis is like an attempt at finding a De Bruyne, meaning somebody who was rejected, who can come revive his career and go back to the heights. Like, he's not somebody that they're gambling on to be a lifelong MLSer. I don't believe that.
Well, I don't think that with anybody. I don't think Ojeda is meant to be a... I don't know that we've ever gotten somebody with the thought that they're going to be a lifelong club member. I honestly... maybe you can lean Chanel.
Briant back in the day.
But he got shipped off to D.C.
Right. MLSer.
I don't know that we've ever, aside from like a Chanel, maybe our homegrown, so you could make that argument that we'll want to keep them around, but then you hear rumblings of maybe letting Hack go. I don't know how you could do something like that. He, you know, he's most likely within that realm of skill level. But in terms of if they're... I honestly don't know that Cushing has the reins to do scouting himself on players that he wants and then to bring that... I'm sure he does, to bring that to the FO. But I see it as he can bring players to them and they're the final decision makers. Definitely. And he is obviously not...
He has free reign at all.
Yeah, he is obviously not the... I want this player, and they say no, but we respect that you're the manager, so we'll get it. We'll get him for you. I don't see that being a thing. That said, I'm sure he's been able to cope himself into loving the options that have been provided to him.
Because we have to.
He talks very highly of Ojeda, very highly of Giannis. I don't think we've heard a ton about what he thinks of Mijatovic's game, so that probably leans more CFG. I don't think he's the final say guy there. I don't think anybody is that doesn't have some CFG related ties.
No, I agree.
These are money makers that are being brought in, hopefully, and it's unfortunate that at the moment we are tarnishing their value.
Yeah.
Because Talas was one of those too, and now...
But also, they're tarnishing their value.
It's, yeah, it has to be...
Nick, don't kick the ball for him.
It has to be called out that as much as it feels Nick's tactics or line of decisions are costing performances, it is 11 players out there too that are doing that as well.
It'd be interesting his answer if we were to ask, who do you think performances mostly, what's more important in his mind?
I think maybe he would just decline to answer.
He might just say it's the collective.
He would.
That it would be the
same. He would say it's 50-50.
He'd be like, I have to do better as a manager. Yeah. But
I think if you got Nick drunk at a pub...
That's why I want Club Shay Shay, bro. Yeah. We need him drunk or just sipping something.
Well,
to
you
like
think
really
of,
get the truth.
You think of, what game was it? We beat, was it Philly at home or the Red Bulls at home? And then he was out at Billy's crushing beers with fans after, and he posted that Instagram story, like, New York is blue. Like, you know that he could take the piss. You know it's deep inside of him. And in public appearances, you can't, what did they say? But the stench is on him.
Yeah.
A good stench of just being like the guy's guy.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I would love to just have a conversation with him and figure out where his mind is at. Because I'm behind everybody that's struggling and what they're doing. There are some good reasons as to why that's happening. But there's also things that you're controlling that you're not willing to admit that you're controlling.
Unfortunately, I don't think we love a club that is willing to afford employees that level of transparency.
Correct.
And that's how I'll put it, because CFG, they are the soccer conglomerate in the globe,
right?
So maybe we'll never know that. I don't, maybe one day we can be independent. That would be a whole different type of story, but I think it's worth maybe closing it out with a positive each from the first two games, if we can muster one. I have two. So if you can't think of one, I'll lobby your way, but mine is going to be Freese. He is probably the only guy in the field that I have not been upset with probably at some point in a game. Looked great. Charlotte, it really could have been 3-0, 4-0 if we're not going to score any goals. And then St. Louis, I know he gives up the two, but that one, that second one was a filthy goal for that. I know it's near post, but that angle that that guy took that shot and the pace that he put on it, and the placement, man, you're not expecting anybody to do that to you.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think he's looked great. I don't think there should be any question. I don't think we're starting up LB1 talks. I don't want to hear any of that.
My bright spot, we get to see Keaton and Perea next week together, presumably. That's what's going to happen.
Sands ain't playing. We know Sands ain't playing.
Right. And so I would say that's my positive from the first two games, which is kind of sinister, a little dark, a little weird. But I can't call out a single player that impressed me.
And that's fair.
Because even, you know, like Freese, yes, he's been good, but he's still got three goals on his head in two games. So you know, it is what it is. So
that's 119. A little bit shorter than usual, but if you're new, that's probably more typical in-season form for us. The off-season ones, we like to get long and theatrical and thoughtful about what we think is going to happen. And then, unfortunately, during the season, we have to deal with the realities.
Yeah, we like to deal with in the realm of what if.
Yeah.
It's much nicer in the off-season. Over there. Yeah. So much better over there.
So we're in the realm of reality now, and it's a bleak reality at the moment. But hopefully the positive can just be all of us coming out together for the home opener and finding happiness amongst each other as fans, even if the on-field performance is not going to be what we want it to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping, you know, we leave that game with like three, four goals, something to really go home and like spark.
Not wet and with a win.
Right.
So if you'll be at the game, we'll be at the game. So you can obviously always catch us, stop us when we're in line for our chicken buckets and tell us something that we can then report back to the pod next week.
Right.
So appreciate you guys for listening, watching, wherever it is you do those things.
You can find us on everything.
On everything. Just search Post 90, and we'll catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.